That's where we're going to be spending most of our time this evening. Judges, in the book of Judges, we're going to be in chapters 6, 7, and 8. We will not be reading all the scriptures that have to do with what we're talking about just because of time constraints. I don't even know that we're going to cover all of Matt's questions, so we may have to listen to the kids when they come back to get the answers to some of those questions that he asked of them. We're going to be talking about the story of Gideon this evening. Gideon and his 300 warriors as they overcame the Midianites. We're going to be looking at that story from the viewpoint of leadership. Not necessarily like we might think of leadership as far as elders or preachers or teachers. But what I'd like for us to do as we go through the story of Gideon is really each one of us step back and take reflect personally and see how we can be better leaders. We can take some of the examples that Gideon gave us and apply those to our life, and we can be better leaders in our personal lives and when we consider the influence that we have on others and the impact that we have on others. Let's jump right in to our text. We're in Judges chapter 6. Now, as we begin, we want to set up the story of what's happening in Judges chapter 6. And we find there the children of Israel, and they are on this cyclical pattern that we see throughout the Old Testament, where they obey God, they're obedient to Him, and then they fall away. And then they're obedient to Him again, and then they fall away again. And in Judges chapter 6, we are in a seven-year downward trend, we might say. They have forsaken God, and because of that, God has allowed the children of Israel to become oppressed by the Midianites. And it says there that every year, the Midianites and the Amalekites and others come in and they just pillage the land, and they destroy everything, and they take everything that's valuable or food, and they just leave total destruction, and the children of Israel there are left to pick up the pieces and start to rebuild, only to have it done to them again the following year. And we meet this man, Gideon, there, and he is in hiding, basically. He's threshing wheat in secret so that he can have be able to provide for his family. And there the angel of God approaches him. God sends this angel to talk to Gideon, to instruct him and tell him that he's going to be this leader of God's people. And we'll pick up there in Judges chapter 6 in verse 12. It says, "And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, you mighty man of valor.'" When we read this statement, we might be reminded of other people. This statement, "this mighty man of valor," is found throughout Scripture. It references many people that did great things for God. We might think about Samson. He was referenced as a mighty man. We might think about David and his 30,000 mighty men of valor, his warriors, and the things that they did. Those men hadn't lived at this time. Gideon wouldn't have known who they were. But somebody else that's referenced in Scripture as a mighty man of valor had lived, and the men that were with him, and that's Joshua. Gideon would have been familiar with who Joshua was and his mighty men as they overtook the land of Canaan and the Canaan conquest. And so for Gideon to be put in this category with those men, I think it takes him aback a little bit. And he might have the same reaction that we might have. We go down two verses there to verse 14, and we see Gideon's reaction to this statement. This is Judges 6 and 14. It says, "Then the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours, and you shall save Israel from the hand of the Midianites.'" Verse 15 there, Gideon's reply, he says, "Oh my Lord, how can I save Israel? Indeed, my clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house." Gideon says, "Whoa, whoa, whoa. You've got the wrong guy. That's not me." And we might react the same way when we think about all of the people who have done great things for God. And we're faced with some leadership role. We might think, I just can't do it. That's not for me. I might let so-and-so do that. I might let them do that because they're more prepared to do that job. That's not something that I feel comfortable doing. So I just don't think that you've got the right person. But that's not what God wants for Gideon. And it's not what God wants for us. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 13 there, says, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." This is a verse that is familiar to us. And about a year ago, we were studying this verse in the high school class. We were talking about some verses that dealt with this. And one of the kids raised his hand and was like, "Hey, I'd like to read you what my version says." He was reading from the English Standard Version. And it says this. It says, "Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong." Now, why would Paul tell the Corinthians to act like men? Why would we be told that? It's because that phrase means the same thing today that it meant then. You know, all of us have been around a child that's fallen and scuffed their knee or had something happen to them that has upset them, and we picked them up and said, "Hey, don't worry about it. You're tough. You're going to get through this. This is nothing." And that's what Paul is telling us. He's telling us that difficult things happen, but they're not so difficult that we can't handle them. They're not so difficult that we can't overcome them. When we're faced with an opportunity that we think is more than we can do, Paul says, "You're a mighty man of valor. You can accomplish great things for God. We can do it. That's what we were made to do." Paul, when he writes to Timothy in his second letter, 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 there, he says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord." Paul says, you were made with a purpose to serve God and have an impact on other people in His service. And the same is true for us. We can be that leader that God wants us to be. And we go back to Judges chapter 6 there, and we see the fleece of wool. Chapter 6, verse 17, Gideon asked the angel of God, "Hey, give me a sign. Let me know that you are who you say you are. Let me know that you're legit, okay?" And God allows the angel of God to do that. Gideon places some food and drink before him on a rock, and the angel has the ability to make fire come from that rock, and it consumes that food and that drink. And then, further on down into the chapter in verse 36 through 40, again, we see Gideon asking for this sign. "Hey, I'm going to lay some wool out on the ground. And in the morning, I'd like for that wool to be wet with the dew. But I don't want any of the ground to be wet around it. I want it to be dry." And God provides that sign. He gets up the next morning and he wrings out the water. And he says, "Well, you know, two signs is something, but maybe one more sign. Maybe one more time I can ask that you'll give me this sign. Except this time I want the wool to be dry and the ground around it to be wet." And God again provides. Sometimes I wonder if we do the same thing. If we don't take advantage of opportunities given to us. If we think, you know, I'm not ready yet. Now's not really my time. I'm pretty busy and I've got things going on. I don't want to take advantage of this opportunity that I've been given. I'll wait for the next one. I'll let somebody else take advantage of this one. I'll let somebody else do that. When we look to Scripture, that's not what we see. That's not what we see in God's people. They don't wait. They go looking. Paul, when he writes to the Colossians, he says that. Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 and 3, it says, "Continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us, that God would open to us a door for the Word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in chains." I want us to step back and think about what Paul is saying here. And look at the end of verse 3 there, where we realize that Paul is in prison. And yet he's asking them, "Hey, will you pray for me that I have some opportunity to lead?" Paul was looking for that door. He was looking for that open door of opportunity to take advantage of, to lead, to be an example to others. And when those doors came, he saw them. He recognized them. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 8 and 9, he says, "But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries." When we think about what Paul is saying here, he's recognized this opportunity, but he gives us one very vital, important piece of information about those opportunities that are presented to us. Everybody doesn't always go along with what it is that we believe. Sometimes we're going to have to make difficult decisions. Sometimes we're going to have difficult conversations. Sometimes when we make a decision to not go out with certain people, or to not go to certain places, or to not talk a certain way, or to not talk about certain things, there's going to be people that don't like that. There's going to be people who look down on us because of that. But that's part of being a leader. That's part of someone who sets an example for others. That everybody doesn't always agree. Everybody doesn't always want to go along. But it's still our responsibility to do so. When we go back to Judges again, Judges chapter 6, there, God instructs Gideon in his first leadership role. There's an idol in the city. It's an idol to Baal. And God instructs Gideon to tear it down. And he's afraid. So he does it at night. But there's something else that we see. He takes some people with him. He takes 10 servants. This is Judges chapter 6 and verse 25. Verse 25 through 27. We'll just read verse 27 there. This is Judges 6 and 27. It says, "So Gideon took 10 men from among his servants and did as the Lord had said to him." Now when we think about leadership, what does that mean for us? When we're faced with a difficult task, when we're faced with something that we don't know how we're going to be able to accomplish it by ourselves, well, we start close to home. We start with people that we know. When we're trying to influence people, when we're trying to lead, that starts with people that are familiar to us. This isn't a new concept. We see this in New Testament Scripture. We see this with Jesus. Mark chapter 5. Mark chapter 5, there Jesus has healed the man that's possessed with demons. And we remember this story because Jesus cast those demons out of the man and into a herd of pigs. Those pigs run down the hill and into the water. And after that occurs, this happens. This is said, this is verse 18 of Mark chapter 5. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him that he might be with him. And he did not permit him, but said to him, "Go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you." We think about being a leader and having influence on other people. The easiest thing for us to do is to start with the people we're most familiar with. To start with the people in our home. To start with our family. To start with our coworkers or our schoolmates. To start with our friends and the people that we're around on a daily basis. And something's going to happen when we take on that leadership role. When we start leading by example, people are going to see us differently. We go back to Judges chapter 6, and we will see that with Gideon. Judges 6 and 32, this is after they've destroyed the idol to Baal. It says, "Therefore on that day he called him Jerubbaal, saying, 'Let Baal plead against him, because he has torn down his altar.'" On that day, because of the things that Gideon had done, they started calling him by a different name. And we see that throughout Scripture after this. You go down to Judges chapter 7, verse 1. Not far down in the text there. And it says, "Jerubbaal." And in yours it might say, in parentheses, "This is Gideon." And throughout the rest of the time that we have references to him, we see this over and over. That name being put out there. People remembering his leadership. Something else happens as well. When we start to lead, people will follow. People follow that example that we set. We see that also with Gideon. We go down there in two more verses, to verses 34 and 35 of Judges chapter 6. It says, "But the Spirit of the Lord came upon Gideon. Then he blew the trumpet, and the Abiezrites gathered behind him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, who also gathered behind him. He also sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they came up to meet them." When Gideon started to lead, he started with this small group. And because of the things they did together, other people wanted to be involved. Other people wanted to be a part of what they were doing. And the same can be true for us when we lead. When we set an example to the people that are around us on a daily basis, people notice. People see that in us. And they want to follow. They want to be led. They want to be taught. And that should be encouraging to us. Then we get to the 300. It begins as 32,000, these people that are following Gideon. Judges chapter 7. We won't read all of those verses there, verses 3 through 7. But we see all of these people following Gideon. And they're going to be going up against this army of the Midianites. An army that is innumerable. It says it's like grains of sand on the seashore. And so going up against this army with 32,000 would have been an amazing feat. But God says, that's too many. So he tells Gideon, "You tell those people, if anybody's afraid, you just go home." And immediately 22,000 people leave. And God, in a show of strength, says, that's still too many. You take them down to the water and you let them drink. And all the people that get down on their hands and knees and drink straight from the water, you set to one side. People that kneel down and cup that water up to their mouth, you set them aside as well. And those people that cup the water up to their mouth are 300 people. And God says, that's your guys. And then Gideon takes them. He takes those 300. We go down to verse 16 of Judges chapter 7. Verses 16 through 21 there, we have the beginning of the battle. And what Gideon does is he takes these men and he spreads them out into smaller groups around the army at night. And he gives them all trumpets. He gives them a pitcher with a hidden light inside. He says, we're going to surround this group, this massive army, and then you do as I do. I'm going to blow my horn. I'm going to break my pitcher. And I want you to do the same. And I want you to scream the sword of God and of Gideon. And that's what the 300 do. And that massive army awakens. And they're scared and they're confused. And that's the beginning of their defeat. Now we might say, what does that have to do with me? And I think the answer is simple. Leadership techniques are all different. All of us may lead in a different way, but we all have the same purpose. We all have the purpose bringing others to Christ. None of us may have ever thought about going out as Gideon did, surrounding them to make them think that they were a much larger army than they were. But the success that he has because of God's help is the same success that we can have when we try to lead others to Christ. With God's help, we can be successful. The other day, maybe a few months ago, I should say, I was in traffic and pulled up at a stoplight, a lady in a van in front of me. On their back window, there was a picture of what looked like a salt and pepper shaker. And above it, it said, salty. I thought, well, I mean, I guess if you know that you have an attitude problem, that, you know, acceptance is the first thing, and that's how you get past it, right? A few days later, I was in the store, and I realized that I might have misunderstood that bumper sticker. Because as I was walking down the aisle, there was a woman walking towards me, a woman. And she had on a shirt that said, salty and lit. And under it, it said Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. Maybe that's what that woman in traffic was saying. I'm salty. I'm the salt of the earth. That's what Jesus tells us we should be. The salt of the earth and the light of the world. That light that can't be hidden. That's what God wants for all of us. He wants us to be the type of people that when others see us, see the way that we live, the way that we talk, the things that we do, the places that we go, the life that we live as a whole, we have a positive impact on others. We can be a good influence to others in the example that we set. The way that we live. That's what God wants for us. God wants us to be that type of people. We study through the story of Gideon, that's what we see. That when we live that way, people will take notice. We shouldn't wait on sign after sign after sign. We should take opportunities that are given to us. We should use them to the best of our abilities to lead others to Christ. When we do that, people will notice. People will see us in a different way, and they'll want to follow. And when we start with a small group, we can have an impact on a much larger group. We can do that here. We can have an impact on this community, on this county, by each one taking that leadership role that we have been given, those opportunities that we're given, and using them to the best of our ability to be an example to others. That's what God wants for us. And that's what we see when we study through the story of Gideon. Thank you for your attention this evening. David is about to ring the bell here in just a moment. We will let the kids come back in here, and then we will pick up after Matt is done.